Well, Byron is away for the week. He's been on vacation this week with his wife down in Gatlinburg area, just enjoying some time. So I'm happy to be up here bringing this morning's message. And I'm here just to remind you, unless this is your first time here, then I'm here to inform you that in 3 weeks, 3 weeks from today, we are launching the 40 Days of Community. We've been talking about it for a few weeks, a couple months. But 3 weeks from today, October 1st, launching the 40 Days of Community. That's what these cards are for that are on your seats. A lot of you have filled these out. Some of you haven't. And what these are for is we're building small groups right now. I'm having a meeting with small group leaders this week to kind of put you in small groups, those who have turned these in. And you still have a chance to do that if you haven't filled this out. So community is caught. It's not taught. I can stand up here and tell you about it, but unless you're in it, you're not going to understand what biblical community is all about. But that's what 40 Days of Community is for. It's for us to really dive into that and understand that. So fill these cards out as well. You can put it in the offering plate as it passes here this morning, along with your connection card and your tithes and everything. And if you're not convinced you need to fill it out yet, what we're going to do this morning is I want to give you just kind of an overview of what those 40 days are going to look like, what we're going to be talking about, what this community is all about, and why small groups are important. And I think we can do that within the framework of the series that Byron's been in as he's gone through the book of Romans, the letter to the Roman church from Paul. We've called it United, What We Have in Common. We have a lot of things that divide us, right, even in the church. But what we have in common. And over the last few weeks, Byron's talked about our common problem, a sin problem. He's talked about our common solution, our common hope. He's talked about our common warning. A few weeks ago, Mike Mack was here. He talked about our common need when it comes to community and small groups. And this morning, I'm going to build on that theme, and we're going to discuss our common purpose, our common purpose. And you see the wall behind me. Rob kind of mentioned it before. We've been taking little phrases out of each scripture from the weeks in the past, and little phrases out of Paul's letter to the Romans. And this week, our phrase, and we're going to find out why it's written like this in Romans chapter 12. Our phrase this week is, we belong to each other. We belong to each other. We didn't make that up. That's straight from Paul's hand to us. Is we belong to each other. We're going to pick this up in Romans chapter 12, if you would. Read with me. Verse 4 is where I'm going to start. It says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. That's the church. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. We all belong to each other. And in 40 days of community, this campaign, this sermon series and campaign that we're going to be going through in October, November, is going to help us to understand how we belong to each other, why we belong to each other, how that works, what our purpose together, our common purpose is together. So what I'm going to do, I know we prayed just now, but I'm going to pray just for God to open our hearts during not just this message, but for the 40 days. So if you just pray with me real quick, I know we did that just now, but I'm just pray for this campaign and our hearts. God, we lift up this 40 days campaign as we seek to build community within this church, as we seek to love our neighbors outside the church. God, that you would just teach us and show us how to love. You would just teach us and prepare us for what you would have for us during this campaign, in Jesus' name, amen. What I want to ask this morning, I want to ask ourselves this question is, what is our purpose? I didn't ask what's your purpose. We'll have a time to talk about that. I didn't ask what my purpose was, but what is our purpose, our common purpose? What is our purpose? From the very beginning of creation, it's been God's plan for us to be in relationship, in community with each other. It was never his plan for us to go through life on our own. His plan was always for us to be in his family and in community, in his family. You see in the Garden of Eden, he creates the Garden of Eden. He places Adam in the Garden of Eden. You cannot get a more perfect environment than the Garden of Eden. And yet he looks down in the Garden of Eden and he sees Adam and he says this. He said, it is not good for man to what? To be alone. God doesn't like loneliness. And he, to combat that, he created a couple of institutions for us. One being marriage and the other being the church. He doesn't like us to be alone. And we're going to be talking about the church. The church is sometimes called the community of believers, or the community of faith. It's called the family of God. Paul, in our passage this morning, calls it the body of Christ. You see, I, by myself, I'm not the body of Christ. You, by yourself, you're not the body of Christ. But together, we are the body of Christ. Together, we are the body of Christ. It only happens together. It only happens in community. It only happens in this relationship. None of us are the body of Christ in and of ourselves, but we are together. And we alone, we can't fulfill God's purposes for us if we're apart from the body, because those purposes were meant to be done through the body of Christ together. Let's do this. Let's look back at verse 5. We've already read this, but let's do this. Since we are the body of Christ and we are better together, as we're going to talk about throughout the 40 days, since we're better together, let's do this. We're going to read verse 5 together, out loud, together. So this is not a time for you to listen. It's a time for you to participate and talk back to me here a little bit. So let's start here. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. We all belong to each other. If we all belong to each other, I think it's safe to say, and correct me if I'm wrong, that if we all belong to each other, then we all need each other. If we belong to each other, then we need each other. There's some things in life that you're just not going to be able to do without other people in your life. We talked about this a little bit at our small group this week, and there were some folks, I'm not going to say who, but just looked over that way, like, whoa, I don't know about that. I think I can do a lot of things by myself. We like to think that sometimes. We all do. I think I can do this. I think I can get through this by myself. I think I can do this by myself. I think I can get through by myself. But if we all belong to each other, then we all need each other. There's some things in life we're not going to be able to do without other people in our life helping us get through that. We're better together. And that's again, we're going to talk about that throughout the 40 days. So why are we doing this? Why are we doing this campaign? Why are we talking about community? Why are we talking about each other and together and all this stuff? Well, I think the number one lesson from the time you're born to the time you die, the number one lesson in life is learning how to love other people. Learning to love other people. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 that God is love. That's who he is. That's his nature. He is love. And 1 John also says that love is from God. And scripture tells us that the greatest thing that God wants us to learn and to practice here on earth is learning how to love each other. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Learning how to love. That's the very essence of life. So with that in mind, we have two goals that we're establishing for the 40 days of community campaign. That's this. Number one, to deepen the sense of love and community within our church. Right here in this room and in our small groups, to deepen that love and that community, that sense of community within our church. But then the second one, just as important, is to reach out to the community around our church in love. So we want to deepen the sense of love and community right here, but we also want to reach out there with love around our church. So that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to be focusing our services on Sunday morning. That's what we're going to be focusing our challenges to you in small groups throughout the week, is to love each other and love the community. So this morning, what I want to do is quickly run through what you're going to be hearing more about over the next several weeks, starting in October, these reasons why we need each other. What is our common purpose, or our purposes together? And Scripture outlines five of them for us. So if you got your outline, this is the time where you can fill in some blanks if you do that, and you can follow along there. So the first reason why we need each other, why we need community, is this. We fellowship better together. We fellowship better together. We do. We fellowship better together. I think by definition, we have to be together to fellowship. And so what is fellowship? The church in Acts, and the first church in Jerusalem, kind of models this for us. It says there's a large passage there about what they were doing. But in the middle of that passage, it says all the believers continued together in close fellowship. But what's fellowship? Because the church today, we like to call everything fellowship as long as there's fried chicken involved, right? We call it fellowship. Put some food in there and it's fellowship. But what is it? The Greek word for fellowship, and you've probably heard this, even if you haven't taken a Greek class, which I assume most of us haven't. The Greek word for fellowship is koinonia. And a lot of us have heard that word, koinonia. Pastor Rick Warren, who's out at Saddleback Church out in California, he developed this 40 Days campaign. I love the way he explains koinonia, this fellowship. He says, koinonia basically means being as committed to each other as we are to Jesus Christ. Being as committed to each other as we are to Jesus Christ. It's kind of like this. If God is the father of our family, and this is a family, God is the father of our family, and he's looking down onto our family, he's telling us, I want you guys to be as committed to each other as you are to me. Be as committed to each other as you are to me. That's this koinonia. That's fellowship. Now, unfortunately, you can't... Joining a church doesn't just guarantee fellowship, does it? Joining a church doesn't guarantee you're going to experience this koinonia that he's talking about here. You could join the church and you could sit there for 50 years and never experience real fellowship with the body. You can. You can miss out. You can totally miss out on what it means to have this genuine heart-to-heart, soul-to-soul fellowship with the body. And you also, you can't really fellowship with a crowd like this. You can't really fellowship with 100 people or 200 people or 300 people. Jesus had his 12, right? And even with that, he had his three. So when I'm talking about fellowship, I'm talking about, you know, four people, six people, 10 or so people. You know, studies say, you know, when you get above 10 or 12 people, that fellowship factor, that closeness factor kind of dissolves. Mike Mack was here a few weeks ago. He said this. He said that when you get above that 10 or 12 people mark, someone stops talking. Someone stops participating. Someone kind of slips off to the side. And when that happens, guess what? They're not really fellowshipping anymore. They're not really connected with the group anymore. So fellowship can't take place when you're just a spectator. Everyone has to be involved with that. We all need that kind of relationship. We all need that kind of involvement. Jesus needed that kind of involvement. Jesus needed that kind of relationship. If you remember the story of him going to the Garden of Gethsemane right before he went to the cross, who did he take with him? Well, we can call it a small group. He took the three and he asked them, come with me and pray with me. Why did he ask them that? Because everybody needs relationships. 1 Corinthians 14 says our goal is to let love be our highest goal. Let love be our highest goal. And in 40 days of community, when we start this in October, and in our small groups, if you jump into one with us, and in our fellowship, our goal is to learn how to love each other. To learn how to love each other. Really love, because the Bible says to love each other. So here's the second reason we need each other. First one was to fellowship. We fellowship better together. The second reason that we need each other, why we need community, is that we worship better together. We don't just fellowship better together. We worship better together. In fact, there are a number of benefits of coming together in a corporate or a group worship setting together. There are ways that you are going to connect to God better in a worship setting with the family of God than you'll ever do on your own. In fact, God says this isn't just an option. This is a command from God that he wants us to get together with other people in his family once a week and worship. Listen to Leviticus chapter 23. This is not a man-made thing. In Leviticus chapter 23, it says this. You have 6 days in which to do your work. You hear that, workaholics? 6 days to do your work. But remember that the seventh day, the Sabbath, is a day of rest. On that day, do not work, but gather for worship. The Sabbath belongs to the Lord, no matter where you live. And then later in the New Testament, Jesus addresses the Sabbath as well, and he's telling us that this principle, if you work 6 days and you take a day off to come and worship, he says that the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. This is not just another rule to follow. Jesus is saying, I did this for your benefit. We created this for your benefit. It's to keep you from burning out. And so take that time and come together and worship together with the family of God. Because when you come together and you worship together, it recharges you spiritually and physically and emotionally just to see old friends and worship together. It benefits us to be together as we worship God. Now, some might say that I can worship on my own. I'm going to go out on the lake this weekend and I'm going to worship on my own. And God said, that's great. I'll accept that worship. But I also want you to be together with the family and come together and worship together. So what is our commitment to worship? You're here. That's great. You're here. I'm glad you're here this morning. What is your commitment to worship? Maybe you're here every week. Maybe you're here only when you feel like it. I don't know what your commitment is. But what I'm asking you to over the course of 40 days of community is to make it a priority to come week in and week out. Just be here together with us as we worship together. Now, I understand there's some physical limitations for folks, but if you're able to be here, my challenge would be for you to be here. And not only for you to be here, but bring someone with you. And then pray, God, just speak to me like you've never spoken to me before. Or speak to my friend like you've never spoken to them before. So we fellowship better together. We worship better together. And then the third reason why we need each other, why we need community, why we need this family of God is because we grow better together. You grow in ways spiritually that you just can't do on your own. You grow with other people. Ephesians chapter 4 says this in verse 16. It says, He, Christ, He makes the whole body, which is the church, He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part, I like this part of the verse, I think we all need to hear this. As each part or each person does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. As each person does its own special work, it helps the other people grow. So that the whole body, the whole church, is healthy and growing and full of love. You see, God wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be growing. He wants you to be healthy and growing. He wants the church to be healthy and growing. That's the big idea. But the bigger idea here is that we do it together. That we grow together. In fact, I think that you can't really grow on your own. You can't really grow spiritually on your own without being connected to a church family. And I think you can get some good ideas. I think you might learn some biblical knowledge, and I think maybe you'll receive some sound doctrine by reading scripture and reading books. And I think you'll have a decent relationship with God if you do it on your own. But that relationship is more than just a vertical relationship. It's a horizontal relationship as well. It's more than just me and God. It's me and others as well. And you can't do that if you're on your own. You can't build relationships if you're not in community. You see, there's a lot of religions that say that the most spiritual person or the most religious person, the most righteous person, is the one who retreats to the monastery to sit in solitude, or to the cave, or to the top of the Himalayas to be alone and be with God. And we look at those people and we think, they are so spiritual. But God says, you know, that's fine, but that's not really it. The most righteous person is the one that's in the middle of people, that's in community with each other, working and loving and learning in relationships. You look at Jesus' life, He went away to be alone because He was always with people. He was in the middle of people. There's a lot of things that you'll never learn about life unless you're in community. You don't learn, if you're by yourself, you don't learn patience, do you? You can't learn patience if you're by yourself. You can't learn to be unselfish if you're by yourself. You can't learn forgiveness if you're by yourself. You can't learn to love other people if you're all alone. Those things are all learned in community, in relationship, in the family of God. And this is why I think the first step towards spiritual maturity and spiritual growth is to jump into a church family and be involved in a church family. You need a family to really grow. Can you imagine a baby being born? Our son is 5 years old today. Gannon, he's the one with the glasses. So if you see him, you can say happy birthday. He got up. We always tell him, don't grow up. You got to stop growing. You know, you told your kids that. This morning, he climbing out of bed and he says, too late, I'm already five. Wasn't even prompted. He just, too late, I'm already five. Can you imagine bringing him home from the hospital? And on the way home, we just pull over get him out of his car seat, sit him on the side of the road and say, all right, you grow up now. You grow up. That's silly, right? Because a baby needs to grow up in a family. It needs that love. It needs that nurturing. It needs that family around him to grow. And if you're a Christian, if you're a new Christian especially, you need the family around you to grow. You have to grow within a family. And that's why you need to be a part of a church. That's why you need to be a part of a small group even. It's a place you can go to get advice, to be with a close-knit family, and to learn from other people, to give advice, to help people through troubled times. We need to be together because we grow better together. All right, here's the fourth reason why we need each other, why we need community, why we need fellowship. We need the family of God because we serve better together. We serve better together. Now, God wants you, while you're here on this planet, he wants you to learn how to serve him and serve others, right? That's one of those loving people kind of things. You don't do this in the best manner when you do it alone, okay? You are not meant to do this on your own. There's some ways of serving that you can do so one-on-one. You can do so on your own. But there's also some ways of serving where you're not going to make it on your own. You're not going to make it alone. Paul talks about this in Philippians chapter 2. He says this, do you have fellowship? Do you have that koinonia, that connection, that commitment together in the Spirit? Then make me happy by working together. By working together. That's serving together with one heart, with that common purpose that we talk about. He said, I want you to be a church that serves together, that does this together with one heart, with one spirit, one purpose. And I want you to be serving together for the purpose of winning souls to the kingdom. You need to know that you have been specifically designed by God with certain gifts and with certain abilities that I don't have. I've been designed by God with certain gifts and certain abilities that you don't have. And the only way we work better together is if we come together. And when we come together, we compensate for each other's weaknesses. We build each other up and we support each other when we get tired. And when you get so burnt out you want to quit, I'm there to encourage you and you're there to encourage me, because we are better serving when we serve together. There's lots of benefits of serving together rather than trying to do this on our own. That's why Jesus, when he sent his followers out to the towns, he didn't send them out individually. He sent them out in teams, because you serve better together. Look at Matthew chapter 25 with me. Verse 34, I have a little bit of it on the screen, but verse 34, Matthew 25, it says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me, I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and come visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Have you ever gotten the chance to help someone personally, one-on-one? I'm not talking about, you know, we take up offerings sometimes, and I think that's a great way to help, to reach out together. We'll talk about that in a moment. But have you ever just gotten to help somebody one-on-one? Or maybe someone who's been marginalized by society, someone who's sick, maybe sat by someone's bed as they even died. You ever been to a prison to visit with a prisoner? Well, Jesus talks about it right here. You know, one day we're going to stand before God, and God's going to judge us based on how we treated others. And Jesus is going to say, you know, I was naked and you clothed me, and I was hungry and you gave me food, and I was thirsty, you gave me a drink, I was in prison, you came and visited me, I was sick and you came and visited me. And we're going to look at Jesus and say, when did we ever see you sick and in prison and come and visit you? When did we ever see you hungry and give you food? He's going to say, you remember when you were at Kroger that one time and that person didn't have enough money and you gave them the extra cash? You did it for me. Remember when you sat by that person's bedside as they passed away? You did it for me. Remember that time you went to the hospital and visited that sick person? You were doing that for me, and that's what community is all about. Building community in the church and loving the community outside the church and around the church. That's what it's all about. You know, that's what our focus is going to be during this 40 days of community. I think that there's a lot of churches in America, the body of Christ, that the hands and the feet of the body of Christ have just been amputated. And all we have left is a big mouth. And the world knows what we stand against, and the world knows what we hate, but they don't see the arms of love. They don't see the hands and feet of love. And that's time to change that, because we serve better when we serve together. Now, here's the fifth reason why we need each other. The fifth reason we need each other is we reach out better together. We reach out better together than we can as individuals to those who are lost and dying in a world and going without Jesus and not knowing him. Somebody once said that snowflakes are frail, but if enough of them stick together, they can stop traffic. And I can't do a whole lot on my own. And I know you can't do a whole lot on your own. But together, we can make an impact in a way that can change our city, change our church. Paul talks about this in Philippians chapter 1. He says, I will hear that you are standing firm with one common purpose, and that with only one desire, you are fighting together for the faith of the gospel. How do we do that? As the church, as the body of Christ, how do we stand together and with one common purpose and fight together for the faith of the gospel? How do we reach out to our community together? There's lots of ways, but I'm going to quickly talk about three before we close here this morning. Three quick ways of reaching out together. Number one, by using your group to reach out and bring other people to Jesus. Our small groups that we're urging you to jump into with us and be a part of. Maybe you've never been in a small group, but you can use those groups to reach out to the community for Christ. There are people out there, and raise your hand if you've ever heard this. Man, my friend's not going to come, or I'm not going to come to your church because I'd be struck by lightning as soon as I walked in. You've heard that, right? Someone's told you that. I would be struck by lightning as soon as I walked into that church. They're not going to come into a church service. They're scared to death to come into a church service, but they might come over to your house. And when you have some friends over, they might come into a small group and be a part of that for a little bit and see what that's all about. So we can use our groups to bring people to know Jesus. Another way we can reach out together is by giving. By giving, you know, regular tenders, members, when we pass the offering plate, every time you give, every time you tithe, that tithe goes into the church, and then the church sends it out to minister to you, to minister to those in the community, to minister around the world, to minister to those who are hurting, to the poor, to the sick. Every time you give, you're helping the church to reach out. Every time you give, we're reaching out together. It helps us reach out to people who don't know Jesus. Here and around the world. And the third way we can help reach out together is by praying. And I know that sounds very, sometimes, you know, just praying. That's all you want me to do, just pray. I went to a missionary conference about 10 or so years ago. And I was sitting in a little conference. I was talking to a missionary from Papua New Guinea. And he said, if you pray for me, you will be more of a mission partner than anyone who gives me money. Because they covet, yeah, he said, I covet your prayers. I need your prayers. If you pray for me, you're more of a mission partner than anyone who's writing a check. And we can reach out together by praying for Ellettsville, by praying for Bloomington, and for the people in our town and the town surrounding us, in the county. And listen, when you pray for our city, for our town, for our county, pray for the churches too. We're not in competition with any church. We're not in competition with churches across the street or churches across town. We're not in competition with churches in our community. That's like two ants arguing over who's going to eat the elephant, okay? There's enough to go around. And if every church in Ellettsville, every church in Bloomington, every church in Monroe County was filled to capacity, we still wouldn't be reaching everyone in our area. So pray for our city, pray for our town, pray for other churches. We're all on the same team. We're all trying to reach the community with one common purpose, and that is to take the word of God and to reach out to everyone within our reach. So pray for our town, pray for our city, pray for our churches. And I think we can be a part of seeing people changed by fellowshipping together, by worshiping together, by serving together, by growing together, by reaching out together. I think we can be a huge part of seeing people's lives changed. You know, together we can be ourselves. Troy kind of talked about that a while ago. We can be ourselves with each other. We can say, I'm hurting right now. We can take off our masks and be present. And when we do that, we grow together. And when we do that, we're more powerful together. We accomplish more than we can on our own. You see, we were all made for these five purposes: to fellowship, to worship, to grow, to serve, and to reach out. We were all made for these five purposes, but we're not going to fulfill them if we try to do it on our own. We're not going to fulfill them if we try to go alone, because we need each other. We belong to each other. I need you, and you need me just as much. We need each other. And so I'm going to invite you to jump in. We're going to have a time where the band's going to come, and they're going to sing a song of invitation. And during this invitation, we're going to do a few things. We're going to use this as a way for you to respond in a few different ways, or a combination of two or three different ways. Number one is we're going to use this time as an offering time as well. And so as the plates are being passed, you want to respond by reaching out together. We invite you to give. Give, and when you give, you reach out with the church. So that's one way you can respond. Number two, fill out your 40 days card. Like I said, we're building small groups right now. We don't want to leave you behind. We want to connect you with other people like you so that we can plug you in and you can grow together. So fill this out, put it in the offering plate when it passes. And then the third way is this. Use this time as an invitation as well. I know the plates are being passed, but use this time as an invitation as well. Maybe you've never said yes to Jesus. We invite you to come forward and do that. Maybe you feel like the baby left on the side of the road and you want a family to grow up into. We invite you to come forward and jump in with us. Maybe you just need some prayer. We invite you to come up and pray with us. Because, again, we are many parts of the same body. The same body, many parts, and we belong to each other. Let's pray together. God, we pray that if there's anyone here this morning that may not know you, may not have ever said yes to you yet, God, that they would respond this morning. God, we pray that if there's anyone here that wants to reach out together, God, they would give this morning. God, if there's someone here who is hesitant about jumping in the community because they're afraid of taking off their mask and being real, they're afraid of really connecting and fellowshipping, God, we pray that you would help them move past that and they would fill out that card and jump into a group with us this fall. Because, God, we are better together, and we can't do this alone. We sometimes think we can do things alone, but we find out that we can't. We need each other. And I pray that if there's anyone here that is having trouble with that, they would come forward and just help, let us pray for them. Help them get through that. God, we just thank you so much for your son. This is all about him. And I pray this in his name. Amen.